Well, good morning. Thank you for being with us. We have visitors among us. We know who you are. We're glad you're here very, very much. I want to talk to you this morning about the year in review, and you're wondering, well, why is Statham up here talking about the year in review instead of our evangelist? Well, for those of our visitors, that handsome fellow, the ex-Marine with the short hair that was standing here leading the prayer, that's our evangelist. But for some reason, they asked me to do this, and I think it may be prudent when you're going back and trying to measure some things to have one of the members do it. I'm just one of the members of the congregation here, and I'm honored to be asked to do these things. I had to tell you a little chuckle this morning. Thank you for being here on a holiday morning. I was talking to Andy yesterday, Andy Castle, and we got to chuckling, and he was talking, and he gave me permission to tell this story. His mama had asked him, "Are you coming over tomorrow morning?" He said, "Well, Mama, tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, that's church. We're going to be at worship." And she says, "Well, you know, a lot of churches aren't meeting tomorrow morning. It's Christmas," which got us kind of laughing. When you really start to think about that, some of the beliefs that some churches would have. This is the Lord's Day. For us that are believers in God, it's the Lord's Day. It's the first day of the week. And we're going to be here because we have a clear command and an example to be here the first day of the week. And we're happy everyone's here. Thank you for coming. And as we talk here for the next couple of hours, I'm just kidding, but we talk here for the next 30 to 40 minutes about these things, I want to give us some things to think about. Why would we do this? Well, I think the answer is simple. If you think about it, it's prudent for any believer or any church to stop and assess themselves. I think one of the most frightening passages to me in the Bible are these first three chapters of the book of Revelation, in which the very one who gave his life for us, Christ Jesus, gave some very frank assessments about seven representative churches. And he talked to them about the things that they were doing well, and he talked to them about the things that they were not doing well, and some things that he condemned them for in no uncertain terms. He has a right to do that, and I think he expects us to assess ourselves and ask ourselves, how are we doing? And this applies not only to the church, but I think so many of these things apply to us personally, because think about it. Are we not the church? This building isn't the church. We, the collective body, are the church, no matter where we meet. And that's important for us to recognize and understand. Okay, let's see if Brother Statham can get the technology right this morning. Okay, yeah. So let's start with a passage I think that we should be thinking about. You can turn in your Bibles to this passage, Romans 12, beginning in verse 5. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, or you can read it on the overhead. A very important teaching to all of us. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Okay, that's our theme for this year, one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, which was common in the first century, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it to our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. With cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lacking in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And you're going, wow. Yeah, those are commands. These are things that we must be doing. These are not things that we look at and go, oh yeah. So if you look at all of this and you go, I'm not there today. Okay, fair enough. If you're not there today, then maybe a large part of what we're going to talk about this morning might be some ways to help you to develop a strategy to get there. Because remember, sometimes with our Christian walk, we're dealing with working towards perfection. Working towards perfection. But let's talk about these things this morning if we might. So these were our focus areas in 2016. These areas. Connectedness. To connect to God and to each other better. Accountability. Accountability is a big one. This is what separates the Lord's body from organizations like the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, the 4-H Club, the Future Farmers of America, the whatever, the Glee Club. This is what sets us apart. Accountability. To be accountable to God and to be accountable to one another. To grow. To grow both personally and as a congregation. And we're not just talking growing in numbers, but to grow spiritually this year. To be unified. To be more unified by the end of this year than we were at the beginning of this year, that we might glorify God. Motivation was a focus area. To be on fire for serving God. Fellowship. To strengthen our bonds with one another. And finally, ministry to each other in the loft. Nice short list, huh? You know, in the business world, we would pick three areas. And for our visitors, yeah, I'm a businessman. But in the business world, we would probably pick one, two, or three focus areas for the year. Why do we pick so many? Real simple. Because these are commands. These are areas in which we need to focus in order to please God for this year. Okay. So we need to ask ourselves these questions. Now I'm not talking as a congregation. Now I'm talking to me. Now I'm talking to you. And yeah, I'm talking to our visitors as well. Today, this morning, December 25th, 2016, are you today more kindly affectionate to one another? With brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. That's what we just read. Is that where you are today? Are you better there? Or have you been lagging some in your diligence in doing these things? Where are you? That's a question you need to ask yourself. This self-assessment is important. It's good for us to do this. Are you fervent in spirit, serving the Lord? Are you distributing to the needs of the saints? We've had some saints here this year with some needs. We've had some serious needs this year. Have you personally reached into your pocket to help some of these? And as of the end of this year, as of today, are you better given to hospitality than you were at the beginning of the year? Have you made strides in that area? Or did you start the year off already hospitable and you didn't need to make any strides in this area? These are the questions we need to ask ourselves. Are we doing as Romans 12 commands us to do? So first, let's talk accountability. Let's assess kind of where we are as a congregation and among each other. We really received several sermons throughout the year about accountability. There were lots, and there were some key teachings in this regard. I would refer you to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. You don't need to turn it now unless you just wish. I would turn you to James chapter 5 and verse 16 that we studied. We spent some time in the fifth chapter of James. And I'd turn you to Colossians, the third chapter, and verse 9. There were several sermons offered in this regard, talking about accountability and many, many other passages about being accountable. Did the Master not command us to be accountable to one another? We were in our focus class in the back talking about this morning, this importance of being accountable to one another, this caring we need to have for one another. We as a body of Christ need to care. That's what sets us apart. We care. If we care, then we can be accountable. So ask yourself that. Did we seek to build new relationships or strengthen existing relationships? Well, I observed some strengthening this year, is what I observed this year. I think we had some opportunities to do that. You come into a congregation, and for the sake of our visitors, I'm one of the new guys around here. My wife, Audrey, and I have only been members here for 2 years. But I've observed over the last year a strengthening in this regard. But have we invited people into our homes and truly sought to know them better? I've observed that many have. There are many who have taken the lead in this regard. You know, people who have sought to know those that they don't know, to know them. Well, it's important for us to do that. But let's understand that things like hospitality, when you really understand what hospitality is talking about, it's not talking about inviting your family over. Inviting your family over is not hospitality. That's family. Hospitality is kindness to those you don't know. What Christ is talking about, when he gives this, when they ask him, well, who's my neighbor? What does he do? He turns right around and he preaches this parable about what we commonly call today the parable of the Good Samaritan. This guy from another country, this outcast from another country, who took pity on a man who had been robbed, beaten, and left for dead on the road between Jerusalem and Jericho. A priest and a Levite, his countrymen, if you will, and religious leaders, had left him for dead. One of them, he looked at him and went, yeah, he's hurt, and walked on. And Jesus said, no, this stranger recognized God gave him a personal responsibility to be accountable. This means we start with accountability with one another, with a caring for one another. So we should ask ourselves that. I've observed some improvement among the congregation, among some of our number. I can tell you right now, it's an area that Audrey and I want to continue to improve upon. I can't speak for you, but we think we can do significantly better. So let's talk congregational and personal growth. Well, we baptized 4 new converts. Tracy Perkins, David Teston, Christy Burkhardt, Aiden Brenton. One of those new converts fell away, which broke our hearts. But Christ said these kind of things would occur, and it occurred. We added 3 new members. We added Daisy Hitchcox and both Larry and Rhonda Wynn. Daisy's visiting in another state this morning. Larry and Rhonda are with us. And our new converts are in our audience this morning. We began a new personal evangelism class that has been meeting in the back. And if you're not meeting with that personal evangelism class, I would suggest to our members that you come into that class. It's excellent. It's a way to teach us how to reach out to the lost and how to do these things. We're having studies as a result of members of this congregation. We have visitors in this audience this morning, and thank you for being here, who are here because our members invited them to study, invited them to church. And I would dare say most of us are here because someone cared about us at some point in either our young or our older lives to do these things. Did you just somehow drag yourself to church on your own? Well, it happens occasionally, but in most cases, people come here because others cared about them. Okay? This last year, we greatly improved our class curriculum. I think we're real pleased with what we've seen here, both our adult class curriculum as well as our children's. Boy, saying class curriculum 3 times in a row is hard. But our class curriculum has greatly improved, our teaching program, if you will. We're making some strides there. But I would also say we have people missing out on that curriculum. We have children that aren't coming to class. We have adults that aren't plugged into that class. And if that's the case with you, you're missing an opportunity. Your children are missing an opportunity. There's some excellent teaching being done in these classes. There's some people that put a lot of work into doing these things, and let's understand, how are your children going to grow and how are you going to grow if you're not doing these things? We also conducted women's classes and men's classes that meet monthly this year. So we need to ask ourselves, as individuals now, as a part of your own frank assessment, this is between you and the Lord. Are you growing? Or are you staying put? Are you really working to grow this? Are you working to become a stronger and better Christian? Because I'll tell you one thing I've observed. Life is an uphill climb. Life is an uphill climb, both physically and spiritually. And if you quit putting energy into an uphill climb, what happens? back you go. And that's a reality. You will only grow spiritually if you decide to invest in it spiritually. I've said this on a couple of occasions to folks, and I got to just say, it's really true. I look back now, and I've been a Christian now for almost 50 years, and it's hard for me to believe that's the case. Almost 50 years. And many in this room, much, much, much longer than that. And it's rarely that I can look at any one class or any one sermon or any one particular thing that did it that just made me stand back and go, wow, I am just so enlightened as a result of that. No, that's not the way good learning typically occurs from the Scripture. Growth comes from continued application, continued study, continued learning. This is when you're in a passage in 1 Corinthians and someone in the class will say, you know, I want you guys to turn to a passage in 1 Thessalonians that talks about this. And you go, wow, I see the connection. Or you're studying on your own and you stumble across an Old Testament passage. This happens over time. If you're not doing these things, if you're missing these opportunities, let me encourage you to not miss these opportunities to learn and to grow and to do. It's going to help you. And it's going to help you get to heaven. And it's going to help you bring others to heaven. So, it's a passage in Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 5. You can read it here, or you can turn there with you if you'd rather read it. Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a hard command. You get 120 people in a congregation, and to get 120 souls and thoughts with 120 backgrounds and 120 different groups of ideas and experience and knowledge to glorify with one heart and mouth, one heart, one mouth. How can we then be unified? The answer is logically simple. Right here. This is how we can be unified. We do not try to sit around and say, well, let's come up with a list of things that we can all agree upon. No, that's not how it works, folks. We can be unified in the Bible. We can be unified by looking to the Scripture, finding what it says. But that means we need to find opportunities to do these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, wonderful, wonderful passage. And I'll just refer to it without turning us there. But in 1 Corinthians 12, this is a wonderful passage that says, well, you know, basically how can the, you know, what happens if the foot or the toe or the finger or the eye or the ear or the this or the that says, well, you really have no need of me. And I've heard many far wiser than me say, well, try cutting off one of your big toes and finding out just how important it is. Or try losing a this or try losing a that. And it's really true. You miss a finger, you miss a toe, you know, you lose an eye. It becomes real obvious that every member of your body and your bodies in this room are important. Every member of the body of Christ, every one of us, is important, and we have a job to do. You know, I'm really concerned if I could say, you know, in many regards, in most regards, we're unified. This congregation knows peace. This is one of the questions that we asked when we first were interested in placing membership here 2 years ago. Are you at peace? Not all congregations are at peace. We are at peace here. Congregation knows peace. And we are unified. And we stand strong for many, many, many things. But I'm really concerned that many of us who claim to be members of this congregation are missing opportunities. They only come on Sunday mornings. They don't come Sunday nights. They don't come Wednesday nights. They don't come to class. They don't bring their children to class. How are we going to be of one heart and one mind and really be unified if that happens? The answer is obvious. You can't be. Can't be. And I would really encourage you. Andy has stood up here and said, it's a heart issue. And I agree that it's a heart issue. If I'm going to reach out and assess, you know, I would not be a service to my Lord and Master Christ Jesus if I didn't say what I observe. What I observe is we need to be here. Remember what I said. I look back over 50 years. You don't get biblical knowledge by laying this under your pillow every night before you go to sleep. You get it by opening it at home and opening it here. That's how you get biblical knowledge. And I would really encourage us in that regard. So, motivation. Y'all ever seen this? These little funny demotivational posters? They're called despair.com. Anybody but me ever see those online? There's a pretty funny one I really like in a work environment. It shows a meeting. Everybody's engaged in a meeting, and one guy's got his head down, and he's asleep, you know, in the meeting. The boss is kind of looking over at him, you know, and the poster says, motivation. You must be fired with enthusiasm, or you will be fired with enthusiasm. That's true. But, you know, Luke chapter 10, verse 27, Christ reminds us of a very important Old Testament passage. When they're talking to Christ and talking to him about the greatest commandments. But he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. You know, we're taught all the Old Testament teachings hung around that. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Right? We need to be motivated in that regard. And you know, I can't stand up here and give you the big secret of how to get motivated to do these things. But I can give you an observation that I've observed, and it's a teaching. You know, I've observed that if you're having trouble getting motivated to do these things, first, just get in the habit. My brother, I've got a brother in Christ I've known for a number of years. Brother Ken likes to say that, you know, you can't really think your way so much into right acting as much as you can act your way into right thinking. Thoughts follow actions. If you're having trouble getting motivated, change your actions. Change your actions. Start following the commands, if you will. Your mind and your heart will follow. If you want to get motivated, start coming to church. Start studying your Bible. Start getting engaged. You know, make this decision to do these things. And don't wait for the first of the year, which is just next week. Do it today. Do it now. That's why we get together, these opportunities to do these things. Start it now. Fellowship. Well, how are we doing? You know what? I think pretty well for the most part. But we could improve in some regards. You know, we know from a study of Scripture that these early Christians really knew each other and knew each other well. Their fellowship was house to house. Their study was house to house. But you know, we read these commands, we see these things. Some have mistakenly said that these commands are given to churches. No, they're not. These commands were not given to churches. They were given to me. And they were given to you. These are given to individuals. So it's our responsibility to obey. You know, I would say, when I look upon the fellowship, the friendship, the getting to know, the working to get to know people, the going out of their way to really know how we can help one another, to draw closer to one another, I just got to commend some in this congregation. There are some in this congregation that just do an outstanding job. They just go out of their way to do that, and I commend you for it. You know, and I know you're pleasing Christ and you're pleasing God. But I've also up here stated that you don't need to worry about having a fancy dinner and impressing people with what you can cook or impressing people with everything that you have. When Audrey and I were early Christians, she had just gotten out of the Army. I was still in the Army. We had a little baby. We were living in a tiny little apartment, and we had folks over anyway. And you know, it worked out okay. Nobody ever made fun of the cuisine. And you don't even have to have people over for dinner. You can do something as simple as having them over for coffee, dessert, play dominoes, but have people into your homes. It's a way you can you can do these things. Well, what about ministering? Well, you know, we've got a couple of groups of ministers in this congregation. This year we had two supported ministers. We had both Bob and Andy. Bob has recently asked to step down and retire. And we acknowledge that and thank him for that and acknowledge that he's done a tremendous amount of work for the Lord over the years, and we thank him for that. And they made a lot of progress in 2016. As y'all saw from the numbers, we converted the lost and taught, but we also saw new class teachers, people teaching classes for the first time. We now see new Bible studies that we didn't have before. Now we see new works being performed by our members. This work by our members is critical to our future growth. Without this work by our members, right, we can't grow. We can't grow, we can't do. And we're doing more and more of that. And I would encourage you, though, to do more. This is how we build up the body, as we're commanded to do, and to bring others to Christ. This is how we do these things. Remember, we've got two works of the local church, just like there's two works of the Church Universal. We are to bring others to Christ, and we are to build one another up. Those are the two works we see in Scripture. Okay, so I've been standing up here, as I said, talking about these things. These are the areas. You know, if I stepped on your toes a little bit, good, because I stepped on my toes. As I prepared this sermon, I went, oh man, this hurts. Okay, good. It's okay for it to hurt a little bit. It's okay for it to sting a little bit, because remember, it's not coming from me. It's coming from our Creator, the one who, you know, who gave life to us. You know, I would say in anything, in life, in the business world, in school, you know, at school, I never liked report cards because then mom and dad were going to find out what a lazy slug I'd really been. But, you know, report cards are a measure, if you will. And in the business world, we do a lot of things by the, we call them doing it by the numbers. And we assess employees and we assess our management and we assess each other and we assess and we look and we examine. It's healthy to do these things. It's healthy for you to look at yourselves and find where you're short and decide where you're going to focus and improve. That's what really makes us better. You know, understand, no matter where you are in this little uphill slide called life, no matter where you are, it's a long struggle. We've all got room for improvement. I pray, and it's been one of my prayers repeatedly, I just pray that I get better every day. I want to be a better Christian by the end of 2017 than I am at the end of 2016. I want to be praying more. I want to be studying more. I want to be doing more. And I would encourage you, find some areas where you want to get better and get better. And remember, just think about some steps and some actions that you can take to do it. But now let me talk to those who are not believers, those who know that they're not right with God, those who might have never put on Christ in baptism, or maybe those who have put on Christ in baptism who have fallen away. Let me remind you of a passage. Our last passage today, and then the lesson will be yours. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, says, "Beware, brethren, beware." Now, what does beware mean? Think of it this way. You're riding in the Rocky Mountains, and there's a road. There's a great big sign that says, "Danger, bridge out ahead." Do you keep riding? No. You better stop. It's a danger sign. "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." But, that means instead, "exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So what's he telling us? He says, encourage, exhort, build each other enough. Say, do it. You can do this while it's still today. Because I'll tell you what life and the Scripture have both taught me. In a very, very short amount of time, we'll be doing exactly as Brother Logan led us in the song service this morning. Excellent song choice. We'll gather soon where angels sing. I want to be gathered with all of you where angels sing. That's where I want to see everybody in this room gathering, where angels sing in heaven. But it is so easy to ignore the warning signs. People do it all the time. For we have become partakers of Christ if we behold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is today. As opposed to opportunities are over. Opportunities are gone. Opportunities are past. You know, while we're walking the earth, we somehow seem to think we've got unlimited opportunities to make it right. We don't. We have limited opportunities to make it right. So while it is said, today, if you'll hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. We appreciate your time this morning. We appreciate your listening. And we always offer an opportunity at the end of any lesson to say, if you need to make things right with God, we have ample opportunities to do that. Any way we can help you in any way, come forward now while we stand and while we sing.